If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids, ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Life's Key 3 podcast, and this is the episode that we focus specifically on helping parents and caregivers who are raising children. And one of the things, we don't always do this, but where we can, that I tie in the concepts for today and the insights to what we've been talking about on our other episodes that's more geared for adults, and that is based on Bible studies that we do. But wanting to have application, especially for parents as they are raising their kids. Now, on this week's earlier episode, we're still diving into the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and we're just in the very beginning of chapter 2. And one of the things that we see there is that Nehemiah, who is a servant of the king, he holds a very high rank position. He is the cupbearer to the king. Now, this is not some grunt little job where he sips the wine to make sure it's not poisoned before the king gets it. This is a high-level position. And so he's in charge of serving the wine and making sure, not just serving it, but making sure that it pairs with the food and there's enough of it and all of this kind of stuff. This is a big deal. And he shows up and he has gotten this news about 4 months before that his home city, now he didn't really grow up there, but in terms of his family, his origin, where his people came from, the city of Jerusalem, which was also the Jewish people political, cultural, and spiritual capital, was in ruins. And this hadn't just happened. This had happened about 142 years ago when Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed it. But about 13 years prior, the priest Ezra had gotten a coalition together, and they were trying to rebuild the city, not because they were planning a revolt against King Artaxerxes, but in order to provide a safe, secure city. Well, the neighbors of Jerusalem got wind of it, and they were jealous and envious, and so they run and they toddle to the king, and the king says, you got to stop that. You can't keep at that. So 4 months after Nehemiah gets this news, he's in serving not just the king, but he's also serving wine, and the queen is there. So we don't know if this was a weekly in-house date night or what it was, but in the course of this, the king notices that Nehemiah is sad. This is a problem because that meant that you were not supposed to show up with your personal problems or emotions. And that could have cost Nehemiah not only his job, but his life. But he answers and he says, basically, well, I'm sad because of the condition of my ancestor city. And the king says, what do you want? And Nehemiah comes back and he has a bold ask. And that's what I want us to talk about today as we look at this with kids, that we teach our children to have bold asks. So how do we do that just in real everyday life? Well, I think it starts with how we handle their ordinary asks. And if you are around kids very much, you know that they can ask for a lot, and they can ask for a lot in a short period of time. And it can just get to be overwhelming. But all kids are not the same in how they approach asking, especially as they get older. And there are children who, either by their nature or because of their environment that has not welcomed asking and making requests, they become very reluctant to ask for much. Now, certainly there are kids who, just because of their very nature and personality, not because of things that have happened in their environment, they just don't ask for much. They're just pretty happy with whatever they have, and they just don't really ask for as much as another kid. And that can be a good thing, until it becomes a bad thing. So if you have a child or more than one who just doesn't ask for a whole lot, really pay attention to that, because there is a healthy need for us as human beings throughout life to be able to identify what we want and then to be able to ask for it. And we want to be careful that we don't inadvertently foster a mindset that either is afraid to ask or lazy to ask, because it's just easier for us as a parent if we have a kid who doesn't ask for a whole lot. So the goal isn't to turn them into somebody who's asking for stuff all the time, but do be mindful that it's not just the kids who are asking for everything all the time that you want to be attuned and maybe concerned about. You also want to be paying attention to those kids who don't ask for much. And then to kind of really dive in and to understand, why are they not asking much? So for those children, you might need to draw them out more. You may need to be far more intentional to ask, what do you want? Not in an irritable way, but in a empathetic, drawing them out kind of way, so that they learn to become self-aware and they develop that awareness to identify what they want. And then they learn how to speak up and take the initiative to ask for what they want. On the other end of the spectrum are the kids who have no trouble asking for what they want because they are constantly peppering you with all of the different things that they want. And for these children, we want to teach them how to ask appropriately, but we still want to retain in them that capacity for asking boldly. So on a practical level, if you're on the end of the spectrum with a kid who is just constantly asking for what they want, one of the things that you can do is put a quantity limit on what they can ask for. And even very young children can get this concept down pretty quickly, especially if it is something that you make visual. Now, for older kids, you know, grade school and up, they can have this concept in the sense of saying, all right, look, you get to ask me for 10 things today. So think them through, because we're going to just put little hash marks up here on this piece of paper on the refrigerator. And once your 10 are done, that's it. So, you know, elementary age kids, they can follow the hash marks and all of that. That isn't going to mean much to a three-year-old. But even with a three-year-old, you can get out 10 tangible items and you can say, every time that you ask me for something, one of these ask blocks is going to go in this jar. And when the ask blocks are all gone, then you can't ask for anything else until. And this is where you do want to vary the timing of that. So for a three-year-old, you don't say for the rest of the day. You say until lunchtime. Or if it's after lunch, you say until nap time or until dinner. And so break the day down a little bit so that they get a certain allotment within a reasonable amount of time. And they will be able to learn, because they're making a visual connection between their words and those blocks on the table, they'll be able to say, do I want to use a block for that or not? Now, let's say that you practice this, and then a kid uses up all of their blocks or their quota for that day or that time period. Does that mean absolutely, under no conditions, do they get to ask you for anything else, no matter what? I don't think that's a good practice. But what you can do then is to have them have something set up where that's age appropriate, so they can purchase the right to ask for something else. And for an older kid, maybe they're learning how to handle money. Maybe it is like an actual, you know, dollar amount, or it's 50 cents or it's a dollar or whatever. For a younger child, it might be asking. They might buy the privilege of having another ask through a chore that they do. Maybe it's a matter of saying, you know, I need to have that table washed, or we need to sort those blocks out, or we need to go ahead and get the toys picked up, or whatever it is, even if it's a chore that you don't really need to have done, but it's something that you can come up with, then they can purchase the right to ask for something else again. Now, there you do have to be careful that that doesn't just become a matter for them of thinking, oh, it's okay, I don't really have to limit anything because I'll just always do, have another chore. Even with that, you can still have limits that, okay, you get one opportunity this morning or today to purchase the right to ask for something else, but then it's a one and done. But we do want to teach our children to ask boldly for things. And as they get older, then we want to be intentional to ask them the questions that will train them to think, what's a bold ask? And this gets into, what do they want? What's important to them? What might they like to do or accomplish that they are perhaps seems so big? It seems like such a big, hairy, audacious goal, one of those BHAG things, that they don't even want to give voice to it to themselves, much less to anybody else. Create an environment where big, hairy, audacious goals and asks are absolutely welcome. That does not mean that you have to find a way to make every last one of those things possible, because sometimes kids are going to ask for things that you know really aren't even possible. You know, one of the stories with my second son is that he loved designing things and creating things. And today he's an engineer, and that loves designing things and making things work and fixing things. And his specialty is RVs. But when he was young, he loved building all kinds of things. And so he's in early, elementary school, even late preschool. And he was at this certain point when he was in elementary school, he had this big, bold vision that he was going to create this flying machine. And he had it all worked out. And what he was going to have these fans, and what was going to power these fans were cordless drills. And if he had enough fans and cordless drills, then it would power the fans, and then he would be able to fly. Well, I knew that was not going to work, but I couldn't just say to him, you know, there is no way that is ever going to work. I don't care how many drills and how many fans you have. And so I had to find a way to be able to keep his big, hairy, audacious ask alive and yet be able to handle that in such a way that I wasn't setting him up for something that wasn't going to work. I wasn't just going to run right out and take him to Lowe's and let him spend his money or spend my money buying a bunch of fans and cordless drills. Although, maybe if I'd had the extra cash to do that, we could have done that. I'm not saying that you can't ever do that. But instead, it was a matter of introducing to him the idea that there was a certain amount of power that would be required in order to get the lift that was going to be needed for this flying machine. Because, I mean, he was planning to sit in this and to fly himself. This wasn't like an enhanced paper airplane. This was like he was going to be personally flying, you know, down the road and off above the trees and all that kind of thing. And so just being able to talk to him about it in a way that kept his hope alive, but introduced just enough reality that he, as he went away and he thought about that over time, he kind of figured out on his own, he was going to need a different plan. But, you know, he still references that and the meaning of that, because I didn't just shut down his dream. I didn't give him false hopes, but I still encouraged him to have that big ask. So I encourage you to empower your children for big asks. When they're young, it might have to do with flying machines. It might have to do with learning how to bake the most awesome cookies. It might have to do with traveling. It might have to do with hosting a party for their friends. It's going to be the best tea party on the planet, whatever it is, because you're not just training them about activities for when they're young. You're teaching them a mindset that someday can position them like Nehemiah. And so when that opportunity came for him to ask a king for permission to go back and to rebuild a city, your kid may just be able to have the mindset and the preparation to be able to have a bold ask. All right, my friend, remember this. You have an impact, especially as a parent or caregiver, that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.